welcome to Connection Point, Gov Connections podcast series focusing on strategies and trends to help you in areas like infrastructure, green IT, mobility, data management, and a whole lot more. I am your host, James Hilliard, and today's podcast features Sandra Rathke with us. She is a senior systems engineer with Gov Connection, 20 plus years in the technology industry, numerous certifications. We've got things like MCSE and MCSA messaging, CCNA and Cisco Advanced Wireless Field Specialist. Those are attached to Sandy's business card. Lots of experience and info to share with us about wireless. And Sandy, really do thank you for being here today.
Thank you, James.
What we want to do is look at today that alphabet soup that is 802.11, and the alphabet that we're adding is N. And basically that is the cutting edge of wireless technology out there. But it has not yet been ratified. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. First thing I wanted to do is really kind of set that compare contrast. 802.11G is, I believe, what a lot of people, most people are using now. When it comes to N, what's the big deal?
Well, 802.11N is backwards compatible with 802.11G in that it operates also at the 2.4 gigahertz technology. But unlike 802.11G, it also operates at 5 gigahertz. So it is backwards compatible with 802.11A as well. 802.11 B, G, and A are the legacy technologies. G and A are supported up to 54 megabits per second. 802.11N has a theoretical maximum data rate of 600 megabits per second. That's quite a speed improvement.
Coverage. Do we have a wider coverage area with N as well?
You will probably see some increased range with N, but the main benefit of N as far as coverage area comes into play with multipath problems. Under the 802.11ABG, there's a multipath problem where signals that get reflected off objects like metal frames, warehouses have this type of problem. The signals are received by the antenna and they can be out of phase on each other and actually nullify the signal and you'll have dead zones. 802.11n takes advantage of multipath. Multipath becomes our friend with the maximal ratio combining component to MIMO, which stands for multiple input, multiple output. It will actually take those signals that have been reflected and combine them so it gets the best signal and the best coverage, and you'll see a lot less null zones than you did under the legacy technologies.
So if I'm understanding correctly, it could be, say, in a warehouse implementation, if folks have tried to do that and have some kind of iffy coverage with wireless, moving towards N could really be a benefit for them in that scenario.
It could certainly benefit them. You know, we'll see better coverage and maybe even in some environments, less access points to deploy.
And these days when we're all watching costs, the fewer pieces of hardware we have to put in our environments, the better. Are most companies ready for making the move from either if they're still at A, B, or if they've already come up to the G standard, are they ready to make a move to N? Are the networks ready to handle this? What's involved in making that jump?
Well, what's involved in making the jump is to actually add the access points. If you have legacy clients on the network, your BG and A client cards in your notebooks, you're going to be operating at those legacy speeds. So right away, you will not see the speed improvements, but 802.11n is an investment in the future. When those client cards get added to the notebooks, a lot of them will start shipping this year and maybe even some last year with 802.11n cards in them, and you'll be able to take advantage of that. You do have to make sure that your network infrastructure is up to date. A lot of times you will need switches in your closets that have gigabit uplinks, and some of the 802.11n access points actually have gigabit ports on them, so you will need to connect them to gigabit network switches.
Are there any power considerations, cooling, any of that type of stuff that folks need to think about before deploying 802.11n widely across their networks?
Yes, there are some POE, power over Ethernet considerations. Some access points that operate at both the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz that have the dual radios in them will draw more than the 15.4 watts of POE power that's under the 802.3AF standard. So So you will have to be careful with that. And there is a new PoE standard coming out, 802.38T, which will provide up to 30 watts of PoE power. So you want to make sure that the access points you're looking at will fit into your PoE capabilities of your existing switch, or when you're buying new switches, make sure that they provide sufficient power.
On the client side, I bought a new laptop in the past year, and that was one of the upgrade options was N. I still have a G router that I'm working off of. And so I know that one day when I do upgrade that piece of hardware, which will probably be in about a year or so, I am expecting then that increase in speed. Let me ask you this. I mentioned in the beginning the idea of ratification. We know that these standards go through the ratification process. So far, N hasn't been ratified. Is that a risk for companies? Could something change, and if people invested in N now, could they see that investment somehow wasted or become obsolete before ratification and sometime in 2010?
Well, 802.11n is now expected to be ratified in January of 2010. Of course, in the past, they have pushed back that date several times, so we do have to be a little bit cautious with the January date. No manufacturer is guaranteeing their product will be just a firmware upgrade to the ratified specification. However, it is a good chance that it will be solely a firmware upgrade. In some cases, if the draft version that's out there, if there is a significant change, then you might have to replace the radios in your access points. So that might be an opportunity to look for access points that allow you to actually replace the radios that are in them.
I do remember conversations like this one when G was in the ratification process, and it didn't seem like there were too many glitches there. Again, there's no guarantee, but it seems that things are moving forward as they should for N.
That's true. And right now, the Wi-Fi Alliance, they're the group that does the interoperability testing, and they are certifying products right now as 802.11n Draft 2.0 compliant. So if you buy a product with that sticker on it that says it is Draft 2.0 compliant, it will interoperate among multiple brands, multiple vendor products.
Sandy, is there any major difference, a spike in price between N gear as opposed to the older gear A, B, or G?
There is an increased cost, but the big increase would come when you look at the consumer versus the enterprise products. The consumer-based products are generally single radio. They have just a 2.4 gigahertz radio, where the enterprise class has a dual radio, which is the 2.4 and the 5 gigahertz. One of the main increases of speed in 802.11n is the ability to do 40 megahertz channels, and that really is only able to be implemented at 5 gigahertz.
Hey, thank you, Sandy. The music means that we're out of time. So for our listeners, thank you for tuning in. If you do want any more information about 802.11n or other wireless technologies or any other IT services or offerings, you can contact your GovConnection account manager. You can also go online to govconnection.com. I'm James Hilliard. Thanks again for joining us.